Let us turn again to the passage of God's word which we read together. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, let us consider now verses 68 and 69. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." This was Peter's answer to the Saviour's question. The question was addressed to the 12. "Will ye also go away? And what he was really asking was not a question about the future, what they would do, but a question about what was in their will. He was asking, "Do you wish to go away?" They hadn't gone, so many others had gone. Many of his disciples went back. Many of those who apparently were taking him as a teacher, they were his disciples, in other words. They were scholars in Christ's school, so it appeared. But this day came, and you could say they all walked out of the school. They weren't willing to learn the lessons that Christ was teaching. They had run their own minds over them, so to speak. And they came to the conclusion that what Christ was teaching was absolutely unreasonable. They found what he had been saying to be a hard saying. And particularly, no doubt, things like eating Christ's flesh and drinking his blood. What at all could he mean? They were asking. And yet, they didn't ask him. They were supposed to be in his school. That was the kind of profession they were making. They were willing to come and listen. There was something about what Christ was saying, and no doubt the way he was saying it, and they found this very acceptable. But no doubt, it was like the people that Ezekiel was told about, those whom he was to address, and he was very, and what he was saying was very like the words of an attractive song, and the what someone would produce that could play well upon an instrument. It was very attractive, and yet they were listening to what he was saying and they weren't doing it. And so it was with those that were in the school of Christ. Before they all walked out, they left the synagogue in Capernaum. They were telling themselves, no doubt, that they were never coming back to hear that man. And the Savior turns to the disciples and he says, "Do you want to go away?" And Peter, no doubt ever foremost in giving an answer, when an answer was to be given, and it was a very good answer, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." We'll not find that anywhere else. We'll not get anyone else who will give us the words of eternal life. We'll not find anybody else who will teach us. We'll not find another school where we can be taught the words that we're receiving, and the words that reveal to us eternal life and the way to eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. He had found the Messiah, the Christ. And he was receiving many a strange thing, many a thing that no doubt he wasn't understanding. But he had this assurance that Christ was the Son of the living God. So, even if he didn't understand, perhaps not much more than the people who went away were understanding, yet there was something about his heart, something about him, because of the work of grace in his soul, that would not go away. He could accept what he could not understand. He could accept what he could not understand. He did not put it away from him. He knew that here was one, the Son of the living God, the Son of the true God. He could listen. He wouldn't go away. By God's grace, he wouldn't go away. He would not walk out of Christ's school like other rebellious sinners had done. No, by God's grace, he would sit at the feet of Christ, so to speak, and learn what he was saying. Perhaps he was saying to himself, I'm a poor learner. I'm not really understanding so much of what Christ says, but I know that these are the words of eternal life. I am sure that this is the Messiah. This is the Son of the living God. And if even if I am not properly understanding what he is saying, I'm going to stay. I'm not going to go away. I don't want to go away. Well then, let us try and notice two main points. First, what Peter said, first of all, Lord, to whom shall we go? That was the words of eternal life. Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. There were things that he had learned. He had learned here was the source of eternal life, teachings about eternal life. And he believed and was sure accordingly. He speaks for himself. He speaks for the other disciples. Yes, he got it wrong about Judas Iscariot, but that was only to be expected. We're not going to condemn Peter for that. But he got it right about the other 10 disciples. And he got it right about himself. And then there's the conclusion that he drew from that. He didn't want to go away. Because Jesus was who he was. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was the Son of the living God. He had these words of eternal life to bring before them. So he did not wish to go away. So there are these two things. First, what Peter had come to know. And second, his lack of desire to go away from Christ. He didn't want to go away. To whom could he go? Therefore, he will stay with Christ. He will stay with Christ and learn more from these words of eternal life that Christ was telling them. Well then, we might go back first of all as we try to consider what Peter believed, what he was assured of, to when his brother Andrew came to him. He was one of those who had heard John the Baptist speak, pointing out who he was. When John the Baptist said to Andrew, and we would understand the Apostle John, when he said to them, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Then Andrew found his brother Simon Peter, and he brought him to Jesus with these words, "We have found the Messiah." What a wonderful thing it was for these Jews who had been waiting for the consolation of Israel through the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. The Messiah is the Anointed One. Christ is the Anointed One. The names are the same, and that's their meaning. The one that was to be anointed as a prophet, as a priest, and as a king. And they were waiting for his coming, as that was held out to them in the Old Testament scriptures, in the prophecies, in the Psalms, in the books of Moses, in the sacrifices and the other ceremonies. And that was why John the Baptist said to his disciples, as he pointed out the one that he recognized, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Here are we sinners," was he saying. "And the Lord has promised a sacrifice. It's being held out to us," he might have said, "in all the sacrifices being offered at the temple, that there was to come one in the fullness of time who would be offered up as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice." Of course, I'm putting words into John's mouth, but that's the sum and substance of it. "Behold the Lamb of God." Here's the Lamb of God, he was saying. All these sacrifices we have been offering over the centuries, and they don't need to continue any longer, perhaps he would say. Here is the one in whom they are to be fulfilled. Look, look, look. Oh, is that not what has been said to us? The final sacrifice has long since been offered. Christ offered up himself, a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. And he is saying to us, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I have offered myself as a sacrifice. I have satisfied divine justice. I have risen from the grave, and therefore you can be sure that this sacrifice has been accepted. Yes, and look to me now, exalted as I am, a prince and a savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins." That's what the Savior is saying to us. Yes. Behold the Lamb of God then. That's what brought Andrew to Peter. It was something that for believers like them, we can assume probably that before ever they met Jesus, they were true believers. They were trusting in God's provision that the Messiah would come, the Anointed One would come into the world, and they were entrusting their souls to him. But what a matter now when Andrew comes to Peter, when Andrew himself found Christ, and when he comes to Peter and he says something like, "Come, Peter, come. We've found the Messiah. Come and see him. Come and meet him. Come near to him. It's what you've been waiting for. Don't delay now. Come." And is it that not to be said to each of us here this evening? Do not delay, do not stay away, come to Christ. And if where you are spiritually is that you are unsure of whether you have believed in Christ or not, think of Christ saying to you now again, "Do not delay, look to me, I am offered a sacrifice. I am proclaiming that as the great prophet, anointed not only to be a priest, to offer up the perfect sacrifice that I did offer, but listen to me as the anointed prophet. Listen to me. Oh, the Lord is saying that to you here this evening. Listen. I am the one that came into the world to save sinners. And you see, Peter came. Peter too found the Messiah. Peter found Jesus. That was true. But he recognized him by faith. By a God-given faith, he recognized him as the one who had been promised. The one who would be anointed to be a prophet, a priest, and a king. And he entered Christ's school that day, and he never walked out. He came under the teaching of Christ. Oh, blessed Peter, and you are here today, and you at some time came into Christ's school. You found yourself very ignorant. What could you learn apart from Christ? What could you learn apart from the great prophet? What could you learn that would be for the salvation of your soul away from Christ? And so you were drawn. The Savior gave his Holy Spirit to work in your soul, to make you willing. And you came. You heard perhaps a preacher saying something like this. Perhaps that was his text. We have found the Messiah. And he encouraged you through the preaching of the gospel to come to Christ, to take him as your prophet, as your priest, to go on as your priest, making intercession for you. And he encouraged you to take this anointed one who had been anointed not only as a prophet and as a priest, but as a king also, and to come under his authority. Yes. We have found the Messiah. That's what Peter learned, and what Andrew learned, and Philip learned, and Nathaniel learned. Yes, and many another one. Then and since. Now, we might follow the Savior. Perhaps it was before this, but it's recorded in the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 4, when Jesus went into the synagogue in Nazareth, and he took the scroll of Isaiah, no doubt that was the reading for the day. He was given the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened the book, and he found what we would recognize as chapter 61, where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now, there's quite a bit more. And it's all significant around this theme that we are trying to explore just now. But there's a number of points in what I've read already. And I don't want to spend too long on any particular part of what I would like to say. But see this first of all, as he gives a revelation of himself to his fellow citizens. He had been brought up in Nazareth, and he comes back to their temple, to their synagogue, and he makes this announcement. Oh, they rejected him. It's not this Joseph's son, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I have been anointed, he's saying. I am the Messiah. That's what he's saying. Oh, he's saying that to us. I am the one who is to come into the world in the fullness of time. I am the anointed one. I've been anointed by the Spirit. I was anointed by the Spirit without measure. And why was he anointed? Well, there was this in it in particular. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel. To preach the good news. What was the good news? Well, you could put it in many a way. You could use words that the Savior used to make known the gospel, the good news about salvation for sinners, the good news that the Messiah had come, the good news that there was a Savior, and people should have been reading that in the name Jesus. It's not that he would be the only person known as Jesus, but you see, he would be the only person known as Jesus because that name was given to him from heaven. He was the Savior, and he had the good news to speak to the poor, to poor sinners, whatever possessions they had or didn't have, whatever money they had or didn't have. They were poor spiritually. And oh, is that not where we should be finding ourselves? I am poor and needy. There's the psalmist, David. I'm poor and needy. Ah, but what riches I've got. Was David saying that? In a sense, yes. I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord of me a care doth take. So he's wonderfully rich, isn't he? Many of God's children may not be rich in the things of this world, but oh, if they can say that, if they have the promise, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. They're wonderfully rich, yes. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He hasn't given that up. He's left the world as to his human age. He's still preaching the gospel to the poor. He sends out ambassadors to go in his name and say, there's a teacher who came from God. There's a teacher who, though he's not physically among us, he is still teaching. Oh, sinner, will you not go to Christ? He's here. He came. He was anointed. He has the Holy Spirit without measure. He is pouring out the Holy Spirit in one degree or another. We may not see great degrees of that in our time. But, you see, who knows? Who knows what great outpourings of the Holy Spirit we may yet see, and we should be asking for that. We should not be questioning a statement like that. The Lord is able. And that's how he will bring sinners to himself, one at a time it may be, or multitudes at once. It's because of this anointed one, the great prophet. And you see, that's what Peter had among many another thing. Here is the Christ, here is the great prophet, here is the one that Moses spoke of, and here is the one of whom all the prophets spoke, Jesus of Nazareth. He's come now, and Peter knew him as Jesus of Nazareth, but he also knew him as the Messiah. Yes, he had a gospel to preach, and we might take this verse just now from his own lips. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's Christ teaching, and he's teaching us. At least we're under his teaching. Whether the gospel is making any more impression on us than on the majority of those who were in the synagogue in Capernaum, I can't say. But you see, there are some, and they have remained in Christ's school through thick and thin. And they have remained in Christ's school because they are saying this. Thou art the words of eternal life. Thou art the great teacher. And if I am to be saved at all, whatever I make of myself spiritually, I cannot be saved apart from these teachings. I cannot be saved apart from Christ as my prophet, yes, and my priest and my king. I cannot be saved otherwise. So I value these teachings, and may the Lord be blessing them to me. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ. We have heard such wonderful things. He has shown us our hearts, they might say. He has shown us the sin of our hearts, but he has shown us the words of eternal life. He has revealed himself to us as the Anointed One, the Messiah, that was set forth in the Old Testament. Yes. And what we are saying of the Messiah, Peter might say, it's this, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. He is the Son of the living God. To put it in Peter's own words, the living God, not dead idols. The living God, then, is equivalent to this, that he is the true God. Other people have their gods. But here is the God that I have been made willing to choose, Peter might say. I am sure of this. Here is the true God, and here is the Son of the true God. And I want to be among the children of God. This is where he has placed me, and I am not going to leave him. The Son of the living God. God so loved the world then that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, Peter says, he gave his Son. He gave his Son that he might be the Lamb of God. The Lamb, and however little Peter understood that, he might have understood things from one side and not understood them from the other side. Here is the one who was to try to persuade Christ not to go to death. Ah, but however little at that stage Peter might understand, he knew enough to be brought and to enter into the kingdom of God. He had found the words of eternal life. Oh, he had so much more to learn, so much the more reason for remaining in Christ's school, so much the more reason for not going away, so much the more reason for not believe, for not rejecting the words of Christ and not rejecting Christ as the anointed prophet. Yes, he had found the Messiah. Oh, Peter, what a find, what a wonderful find. Oh, can you say that yourself? We have found the Messiah. But at any rate, is this your greatest desire, that you would find Christ? Is that your greatest desire, to be found in Christ, not having your own righteousness? There was Paul. He too found the Messiah. You might say, oh, wasn't it the Messiah that found Paul? And that was true. Wasn't it the Messiah that found Peter and drew him to himself? That was true. But it was true also that he found the Messiah. We believe and are sure. Yes. And whatever you might be unsure about, whatever you might, however unsure you might be about your own salvation, still, is it not true that you are sure about this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? You found the Messiah then. Is that not true? He's the only one you know that can show you the words of eternal life. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a gift, what grace, what love. What love in the one who came, what love in the one who came at the Father's will and at his own will, according to the eternal purpose of the triune God, the covenant of grace from all eternity. Oh, is this true of you? As you think of the provision of the covenant of grace, as you think of what was promised in the covenant of grace, as you think of what has been brought to pass in the covenant of grace, that you are thankful for the covenant of grace, and you feel the wonder of that way of having these wonderful things revealed. The covenant between the Father and the Son from all eternity. The Father representing the Godhead and the Son representing a multitude of sinners who were given to him in that everlasting covenant. And so Christ was given into the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. Oh, do not say, that can't be for me. Whosoever will believe in Christ will not perish. You look to him. And that's what was being said before the people. What they refused, what they turned their back on, what they said, this is so unreasonable. We cannot understand it. So we've got no option but to reject it. Ah, would they not go to Jesus, as the disciples went to Jesus on many an occasion. Some are recorded in Scripture, but I'm sure there was many another time when they went to Jesus and they said something like this: we don't understand, we cannot understand. There's so much we don't understand. Tell us about this, tell us about that. And Jesus would patiently deal with them. He would instruct them. He would give them an extra lesson. In his school, he would bring them into school again, and he would sit down with them, so to speak, and teach them more, teach them as far as he felt it to be good for them at any particular time. And oh, what a session they had with Jesus, if I can put it like that, after the resurrection, when he was gathering them again and again. And we have some of the lessons that he taught, and there was that wonderful lesson he had on the way to Emmaus with the two disciples. There were other lessons. There's a lesson recorded in Luke 24, for instance, after the disciples had gone to Emmaus and Jesus had followed them and then had come back to Jerusalem. What teaching? What wonderful teaching. Ah, he's still the same. Christ is still the same. Think of it. Is there something troubling you? Is there something troubling you in connection with the Word of God? Well, go to Jesus. Go and ask. Lord, ask where you are just now. You may get an answer before our service is finished, for all I would know. The Lord could use something to give you light, applying it to your soul by the Holy Spirit. But go to him and ask, Lord, I have this difficulty, there's this troubling me, there's this that I don't understand. It's troubling me so very much, and I'm stuck where I am. I cannot make sense of it. Oh, may the great prophet come and reveal to me what I need to know. May he give me the Holy Spirit so that I might learn this that I do not understand. Yes, go to him. Yes, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And that's what the Savior was saying in effect when the people generally were rejecting what he was saying. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. These were words of eternal life. They spoke of eternal life. There were so many that didn't understand, and the trouble was they didn't. They just dismissed it. They said, that's absurd, and they went away. They walked out of Christ's school that day. But whoso eateth my flesh, would he not have gone over it with them if they had gathered round him? If they had said, we're not understanding, what is meant here? What is it that thou didst mean when thou didst speak in this way? Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. There's eternal life. Or an aspect of eternal life, being raised up at the last day. Whoso eateth my flesh. Oh, he wasn't expecting to be taken literally, and that's all they could make of it. But they needed instruction. Whoso eateth my flesh. He had become man, he had taken human nature, he had come in the flesh. Whoso drinketh my blood. He was to die. He was to pour out his soul unto death. So they were to receive him in this way. They were to receive him, as it were, into themselves, into their souls, by faith. Whoso eateth my flesh, whosoever receives me, as the one who came into the world to save sinners, by dying for them, he will not perish. He will have eternal life. And oh, think of the authority that lies behind this matter of believing. That it's not just an invitation. It is that. But it's a command. You are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to come to him. You are to look to him. Do not turn away. Yes. This is the work of God. They had asked, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Oh, this is it. This is at the center of it, the Savior was saying to them. This is the work of God, that you believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That you believe on him as he is revealed. He was revealed in the flesh, as far as they were concerned, but that was not separate from what had been revealed concerning him as the Messiah in the Word of God. And we have him revealed in both Testaments, old and new, and we are to receive him. We are to ask that the Holy Spirit, he might work in our hearts. As the Savior said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. These words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. The words that he spoke, the words that he still speaks, they are for our spirits, they are for our souls. They are spiritual themselves. They are what bring life to the soul. Oh, that we would have a mind, by God's grace, to the Holy Spirit bringing life into our souls, that we would have a mind to be listening to Christ and receiving him as the one who came into the world to save sinners. But we must spend a little time on the other matter, Peter's resolve not to go away from Christ. Do you wish to go away? He asks the disciples. No, says Peter, that was the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom shall we go? We can't go away. What's the sense in going away? We've no one to go to. There's no other Savior. This is the fulfillment. This one that they are with, this one that they are speaking to, this is the fulfillment of all that had been revealed to them in the Old Testament scriptures. And no doubt at first, Peter and Andrew and most, if not all, of the other believing disciples had found Christ in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament revelation, it's important for us also. Christ valued the scriptures. Christ said so much about the Old Testament scriptures. We've got the New Testament, but not in its place, but as well. It's a whole Bible we've got now. We're not to despise what we have in the Old Testament. And so, when Christ is set before us, however inadequately, in the preaching of the Word, and when Christ is set before us in the Word itself, are we going to go away? When we have Christ made known, when it is set before us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, we are to say, these are the words of eternal life. I cannot go away from this. I cannot. I've got no wish to go away. What I wish is that I would be drawn more and more to Christ. What I wish is that I would understand these things better, that I would get a clearer and clearer understanding of them. I don't want to go away. Here is where I can find the Messiah, where I can find him over again, where I can find him better. So I'm not going to go astray. Peter had learned his lesson well. The lesson that made him speak in this way, the various lessons that he had learned. And so when he was preaching to the people in Jerusalem and preaching Christ, making known the gospel, the good news about the one that everybody had heard about, at least in Jerusalem, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. His mind is going out in the same direction as he expressed himself in our text. His mind is going out in the same direction, and he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Yes. There's no other revelation. There's no other Savior, he is saying. And it just struck me that when Peter was speaking like that in Jerusalem, he was going on from a quotation he had made from the Old Testament scriptures, from Psalm 118. This is the stone, he says, which was set if not, he may not be quoting, but he's applying it. The reference in Psalm 118 to the stone. That stone is made head cornerstone, which builders did despise. This is the doing of the Lord, and wondrous in our eyes. And Peter is saying that to himself. Or perhaps he actually quoted it, though it's not recorded, but he says, as he speaks of Christ, as he speaks of the Anointed One, this is the stone, the foundation stone, the foundation stone of that temple that the Lord is building. Christ is the foundation stone. It was set at naught. It was treated as irrelevant by the builders, the leaders of the Church of God at that time. The chief priests, the Sanhedrin, the council, they rejected Christ. Nicodemus didn't, of course. Probably the only one of these 70. But there was Joseph of Arimathea, who was a chief man among the Jews. But, you see, so many of them rejected Christ, though it was their duty to do what is best for the Church of God at that time. But, oh, Peter goes on. That was the words of eternal life is perhaps even in his mind when he says, there's no other Savior, where could we go? Is that your own mind? Whatever your spiritual difficulties, whatever your questions about yourself and whether you have found Christ or not, but you say, by God's grace, I'll not go away. By God's grace, I'll not give him up. I'll not give him up. Yes. I'll not give him up. I need grace for that, yes. But, it's a complete salvation. And if you have come to Christ, if you have laid hold of him, then there's one thing sure. He will not put you away. He will not let you go. He will not send you away. Yes. He will not put you away, but instead, he will keep on drawing you to himself. He will keep on teaching you. He will keep on making intercession for you. He will keep on as your king. And I haven't said much about Christ as king, but there's only so much we can emphasize at any one time. But it's part of Christ as the anointed one. But you see, they were flocking to David when David was an outcast. And they were seeing David, some better, some more sincerely than others, very likely. But they said to David, this particular group of people that came to him to be their leader, to be their commander, they were saying, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. And what are you saying? What are you saying in your soul when the suggestion is made? Will you also go away? So many have gone away in this generation. So many have turned their back on the truth. So many claim they can do without God, and their lives have never been better since they gave up any thought of God and the Bible. Well, it's early days yet, isn't it? Early days. Those who are saying that have not meant death. They have not passed into eternity. They have not experienced the reality of a lost eternity. But what are you saying? Thine are we, David. And at least you are saying, I would be thine. That's how I want it to be. I want to be on the side of Christ. I want to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness. I want to have him as my king. How can I get through this world safely? How can I be kept from evil? How can I be kept from unbelief? How can I be kept from rejecting the Bible? How can I be kept from turning away from God? Oh, it's through the one who came into the world to save sinners. That's it. You're putting yourself on the side of Christ. And however difficult you might find it, to be sure that you have begun to follow Christ, that you have begun to believe in him, still you say, that was the words of eternal life, and I can't find that anywhere else. I can't find a life which I can feel in the least degree to be safe. I'm in danger. If I turn my back on Christ, I'll be in danger. So you want to say something like those who came to David, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. And you might be trying to put the words of Psalm 80 into your mouth, as it were, into your mind, into your heart. These words just now, so will we not go back from thee. We will not go back. Oh, I would go back if I was left to myself. But when I think of what Christ has done, when I think of the covenant of grace, when I think of the sure mercies of David, then I feel that I can use these words, so will we not go back. But then, that's not the end of it. It's this, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Put life more and more into our hearts. Put more and more of thy spirit into our hearts. And if it's not there, you might hasten to add, put thy Holy Spirit in my heart now. Bring me to a living faith in Christ. Bring me to an entrance into these words of eternal life. Give me this in my soul. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes. Are you saying, wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been in the synagogue with Jesus? Well, no doubt it was, and how many there were that made no use of that. How many? How many? But there were some who received the words of eternal life. Perhaps they couldn't make much of what Jesus was saying, but they knew that he had the words of eternal life. And even if they could not follow him, when he was speaking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, yet they knew that there was something there, something of the words of eternal life, and they were not going to reject them. Yes. So they want to stay in the school of Christ. You are here and you want to stay in the school of Christ. You want to get nearer the teacher. Perhaps that's what you're saying. And you might take up the words of Psalm 119, and many another verse could be quoted too, but take these just now. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. You see what's there? Perhaps many another thing there. But there's a faith in the Lord as one who can teach, and teach effectively. That's what's true about Christ as the great prophet. The one who was anointed as a prophet. That's what's true about. He is able to teach effectively. Oh, it's good if we are in the synagogue in Capernaum. And what I mean is, it's good if we are where Christ is as the teacher. It's good if we're there. Many a person hasn't got good from being under the word, but there's others who have. And those who seek shall find. Those who come under the word and are seeking, they too have Christ as their teacher and Christ as their Savior. That's obviously true also. Though this evening, that's the way I've gone out on these words to a very great extent. Christ as teacher. Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine, and to observe it to the end, I shall my heart incline. Yes. Christ is the teacher, and we are to be asking him, Lord, teach me in my soul. Lord, give me the Holy Spirit to apply these truths so that I would know, so that I would believe and be sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, we are poor creatures, but thou hast a wonderful provision for sinners. May we get good for our own souls. May we find Christ in the Word of God. May we have a meeting with Christ under the Word. Lord, may we have a meeting with Christ this evening. And may we not walk away. And do thou accompany us home. And grant us thy blessing. for time and for eternity. Keep us, Lord, as we make our way through this world. Pardon our sin. Deliver us from all evil. Draw us by almighty power. Grant to do wonderful things. Thou art able to do wonderful things. Thou art able to bless us, or do thou bless us, every one of us and all connected with us, that multitudes would be drawn to thyself, that thou wouldst be exalted in the earth. Oh, remember us, Lord, do us good, wash away our sin, keep us from all evil. Grant thy blessing now and always. Hear us graciously, love us freely. Grant a blessing with all that is done in thy name today, everywhere. Oh, come by thy Holy Spirit to be drawing multitudes to thyself. Be with us all, pardon us and bless us and keep us. For Jesus' sake, amen.